My name is John Erling, and today's date is September 21st, 2017. LaDonna, would you state your full name, please?
LaDonna Vita Crawford Harris.
I got to ask you about the name. Vita?
Uh-huh.
What is Vita?
V-I-T-A. My mother named me LaDonna Vita. My older sister said, I don't know what mother was thinking. She named me Billy Carl, then named you LaDonna, which was much more beautiful. Where she heard the name.
And then Tabby Tight is your mother's maiden name, of course,
right.
Harris. Your date of birth?
2/15/31.
And your present age?
86.
This is one thing I like about this job, because I get to ask women their age, and I have a right to do it.
Well, when you get this old, you don't mind telling me.
You're here on the University of Tulsa campus, and we're in the recording facilities of voicesofoklahoma.com. Where do you live presently today?
In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Tell us where you were born.
In Cotton County, on my grandmother's land allotment, where the West and East Cache come together, below her property that I grew up on.
Probably in a farmhouse?
Oh, yes. Yes, one of those traditional houses that they built in that particular time for the Indian community that has a porch similar. We all had similar kind of houses across the country. My grandmother loved flowers and trees, so we had a big yard that we had to maintain. And my grandfather, they raised me. I don't know if you knew that. When I was born, it was right after the Great Depression, and everybody was still struggling. So my father went to California looking for a job. He was Irish. He went to California looking for a job, and my mother then went to work for Indian Health. And at that time, if you worked in Indian Health, you lived on the campus. So she had to live in a dormitory and stay there to her job. So my sister and I always were with my grandparents, and they were the people who raised me.
I wanted to point out that I think it was actually Temple, Oklahoma.
Yes.
I noticed there were two notable people who came from Temple, Oklahoma, LaDonna Harris and Pepper Martin, who was a baseball player for the St. Louis Cardinals in the 30s and 40s, and he was known as the Wild Horse of the Osage because of his daring, aggressive base running. So you're right up there with that. Let's talk about your mother, your mother's name.
Lily Tabitai Crawford.
She grew up in that area?
Yes.
What kind of a personality did she have?
Well, she was real reserved. That population went through this transition from living in your culture to having to go outside of it and work and participate. So I think it was hard on that particular population. She was very good looking, and I had great aunts who were the same age as she was. They all ran together, and they were great flappers. You know, they had that look about them, that haircut and the clothes. She did go to Indian boarding school for a short time, but she didn't like it, and so her mother took her out. But she was rather timid, even when I got older, because she had to make those steps outside of the community that I think really formed her personality.
Mm-hmm. Did you draw, as you look back in your life, something from her or your grandmother? Maybe that you were raised, mostly your grandmother?
My grandparents, yes.
Yeah.
She would come and visit, and of course, when I got older, she would take me to Lawton, and we would buy great clothes. I was always well-dressed between her and grandmother, who made me clothes. But as I got older and really wanted to dress up, you know, a teenager, she would take me, and she would get clothes for me. And she took very good care of me in that sense.
Your father's name?
Don Crawford.
What kind of a personality did he have?
See, I never got to know them because he left about the time that I was born. Well, after I was born, but I was an infant, so I never really knew him, though he corresponded with me from time to time. I have letters that my grandmother, his mother, would write to my mother and ask how I was doing. I didn't know or at least met my Crawford grandmother. I would go and spend a week or two when I was about 5 years old or something that age. I got to know her and my Aunt Otis, who was there with her. And then they moved off, too, to join my dad in California.
Your mother was Comanche.
Yes.
She was full-blooded Comanche.
Yes.
And then your father, he was Irish descent.
Mm-hmm.
So you're mostly Comanche, but a little bit of Irish.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Does the Irish ever come
oh, yes.
blossom through?
Yes, it does. It does.
And then you said you have a sister?
Older sister.
She's Billy Carl Evans. So you can trace your ancestry back several generations, I believe, back to Ten Bears.
Yes.
And what is the story there?
He represented the Comanches in negotiating with the federal government from time to time. So he had a great reputation as an orator. You have to have certain skills, you know, to be able to do that. So he was recognized for that medicine, we would call it, because that was his medicine. He could communicate well. And he represented us on many occasions when we were negotiating with the federal government. Comanches was the last tribe to be brought back to Oklahoma. You know, we have all of these military bases from Arkansas to New Mexico. About every 500 miles was a military installation after the Civil War to make sure that they could get control of the Comanches, Kiowas, and the Cheyennes, and some of the Navajos. You know, they had a Trail of Tears incident as well. My grandmother's people were at Palo Duro Canyon, just south of Amarillo. The military, I can't remember the general's name, but he was well known in the Civil War. They had all these military men like Custer who wanted to make a name for themselves. So this was one of the ways they did it, was to come out after us. By that time, the Comanches had really grown and they had all kinds of horses. It was stated in some historical documents that every man, woman, and child had at least 500 horses. Of course, we captured them from the Spanish early on and we became great horse people. That's how we could dominate the Southwest pretty much at one time. So there they were, and they were hiding in the canyon. The general was familiar with how to maneuver them out of that because he heard about the transition. So they brought them up and told them to put what they could carry, and they marched them from Amarillo, Texas, back to Fort Sill. What would happen when they capture some Comanches, they could be in captivity for a while or surrounded by military, and they would be able to steal a horse and run away. So what they did, they ran all of their horses, 7,000 horses, off of the cliff to the canyon, and then they had to walk all the way back to Lawton, Oklahoma. People later in history came and took the bones of the horses to make fertilizer. So that was my grandmother's story. My grandfather has stories, too. Of course, grandmother converted to Christianity quite early on, and she was one of the first people to help build the church, the D.O. mission between Lawton and Cache, where her family took their land allotments. My grandfather's father was a Spanish captive by the Comanches, who became a great warrior and participated in the Adobe Walls incident. Comanches and Cheyennes were going to Albuquerque to raid, and they ran into this little encampment. So there's a great story about Adobe Walls. Grandfather told me this story, and since we don't have any written history, you have to explain all the environment in which the story takes place. Later on, Fred and I went out and looked at the site, and it was just like grandfather's. You'd almost think that there was a picture taken of it to tell the story that he participated in that incident.
Well, he was a great storyteller then, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, he was.
Details.
He went to all the great details. It was fun to listen to him.
What a great story to hand down to the generations.